Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a really interesting case that highlights the nuances of online sales and the responsibilities that come with them, both for sellers and buyers. We're diving into Negro Vili, a 2009 New York case centered around an eBay car transaction that kind of went sideways. Think of this as a key lesson for you as future legal professionals navigating the complexities of e-commerce.
Exactly. We've sifted through the court documents, case briefs, and some insightful analysis to bring you the core of this decision. Our goal is, you know, to equip you with a solid understanding of how courts interpret online sales descriptions and what they expect from purchasers in terms of, well, due diligence.
All right, let's get into the story. Picture this. Joseph Negro, a buyer in New York, spots a 1995 Mercedes-Benz for sale on eBay. The sellers are Maxwell Lee and Alice Eisenley, located all the way out in Nevada. The year is 2006, and the auction is live.
Right. And the crucial element here, the one that really sets the stage for the legal battle, is how the car was described.
Yeah.
The listing touted it as gorgeous, but importantly, did mention minor blemishes.
Ah, yes.
It's the kind of, you know, optimistic language we see quite often in online marketplaces.
Absolutely. And layering on another common aspect of online sales, the listing also included a standard as-is disclaimer. As you'll learn, this kind of clause often carries a significant weight in these disputes.
Yeah, definitely.
So Negro wins the auction, the Mercedes makes its cross-country journey to New York, and that's when, well, things took a turn.
Indeed. Upon arrival, Mr. Negro discovered a whole range of problems that went way beyond just a few minor blemishes. We're talking about rust issues, evidence of prior accidents, various mechanical malfunctions, things that clearly weren't disclosed in the initial listing.
Yeah, not exactly gorgeous anymore. Not surprisingly, Mr. Negro wasn't too pleased. He reached out to the Lees, and they did actually provide a partial refund.
They did.
However, feeling that he had been significantly misled, Negro decided to take the matter further and filed a lawsuit alleging fraud and breach of warranty. Right. The case then proceeded through the New York court system. Now, the trial court initially sided with the Lees, granting summary judgment. This essentially meant the court believed there just wasn't sufficient evidence for Negro's claims to even warrant a full trial.
Right.
But Negro appealed, leading to the decision we're examining today.
So now that we have the background, let's really dig into the crucial legal questions the appellate court had to answer. At the forefront was this key issue. Did the seller's description of the car as gorgeous establish a legally binding express warranty under Section 2.313 of the Uniform Commercial Code? This is like fundamental stuff for anyone studying contract law. Absolutely. And this is where the distinction between a seller's subjective opinion and a legally enforceable promise becomes, well, paramount. An express warranty, in legal terms, is a specific statement or promise about the quality or characteristics of the goods that forms part of the basis of the sale. It's more than just general praise. It's an assertion of fact.
Right. So, for example, if the listing had stated, say, engine recently overhauled, and that turned out to be totally untrue, that would likely be a breach of express warranty because it's a specific verifiable claim.
Exactly.
But gorgeous. I mean, it definitely feels like a matter of opinion, doesn't it?
Precisely. And that's exactly how the court saw it. They determined that gorgeous was non-actionable puffery. Basically, a generalized expression of the seller's positive feeling about the car, rather than a concrete factual representation that a reasonable buyer would be justified in relying upon as a guarantee of its condition.
It's kind of like a car dealer saying a particular model is sleek and stylish.
Mm-hmm.
It's just marketing language, not a guarantee of specific attributes.
That's an excellent analogy. And to reinforce this legal interpretation, the court actually cited UCC 2.313.2, which explicitly states that a statement purporting to be merely the seller's opinion or commendation of the goods does not create a warranty. For the court, gorgeous fell squarely into this category of seller's opinion.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, the listing also had that as-is clause. Can you elaborate on how that factored into the court's reasoning? I know they focused on puffery, but did the as-is play a role too?
Yeah, it did. While the court's primary holding rested on the gorgeous description being puffery and thus not creating an express warranty, the as-is clause definitely served as additional support for their decision. You know, such a clause essentially signals to the buyer that they are accepting the goods in their current condition, with all existing faults, whether those faults are apparent or, importantly, hidden.
So it shifts the risk.
Exactly. It reinforces the idea that the buyer bears the risk of any defects.
Okay, so the express warranty claim didn't hold up. But what about Negro's other argument? He claimed he was a victim of fraud due to the misleading description. What did the court say about that?
Yes, the fraud claim. This brings us to the critical legal concept of justifiable reliance, which is a necessary element you have to prove it for any fraud claim. For Negro to succeed here, he needed to prove that the Lees made a false statement of a material fact, that they knew it was false, that they intended to deceive him, and crucially, that he justifiably relied on that false statement to his detriment.
And where did Negro's case fall short when it came to proving that justifiable reliance? Because that seems like the sticking point.
It absolutely was. The court placed significant emphasis on Mr. Negro's failure, his complete failure, really to undertake any reasonable steps to inspect the vehicle before purchasing it. They pointed out, you know, he didn't attempt to contact the sellers for more detailed information.
Like ask specific questions.
Right. He didn't get a vehicle history report, which is pretty standard these days, even back then. And he didn't hire a mechanic in Nevada to inspect the car on his behalf before completing the purchase and having it shipped all the way to New York.
It seems that even, you know, in the context of online transactions, especially for big purchases like a used car, there's still an expectation that buyers will take some basic steps to protect their own interests. This principle of caveat emptor, let the buyer beware, it really pops up frequently, doesn't it?
It does. And the court even noted that eBay's own platform provides resources and actually encourages buyers to conduct this kind of due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where Mr. Negro's argument about the geographical distance, you know, being an impediment to inspection, well, it just didn't persuade the court.
So the court wasn't buying the argument that just because the seller was in Nevada, he couldn't investigate?
It's not at all. The court essentially stated that the distance did not absolve him of the responsibility to make reasonable inquiries or take readily available steps to assess the car's condition. They invoked the principle of ordinary intelligence, suggesting that a prudent buyer, someone using common sense, would have utilized available resources to ascertain the truthfulness of the seller's representations.
Mm-hmm.
As the court put it quite bluntly, all deficiencies could have been discovered by routine investigation. Ouch. This really underscores for you, as future lawyers, the importance of advising clients on the need for proactive investigation in these online purchases.
That's a pretty clear message for buyers in the online marketplace. Okay, so for those listening who are, you know, future legal professionals, why is this case of Negro v. Lees so significant? What are the key principles you should really take away from this deep dive?
Well, there are several crucial lessons here that are directly relevant to your future practice. Firstly, it firmly establishes that legal boundary between, you know, a seller's enthusiastic marketing language, the gorgeous type of description, and the factual assertions that can create legally binding warranties.
Right.
So when you're advising clients on online transactions or maybe drafting sales agreements, you need to emphasize the importance of clear, precise language to avoid accidentally creating warranties.
So the advice is basically stick to objective, verifiable facts rather than subjective opinions when describing goods for sale online. If you don't want to be held to it, don't state it as fact.
Precisely. Secondly, this case serves as a really strong reminder of the buyer's obligation to exercise due diligence. Especially in online deals where a physical inspection isn't immediately feasible, buyers must take reasonable steps to investigate the condition and quality of the goods using whatever tools and resources are available. Courts are generally reluctant to provide recourse to buyers who fail to take those basic precautions. That's a key point to remember when counseling clients who've run into trouble with online purchases.
And the fact that the seller was located in a different state, that doesn't automatically excuse the buyer from doing that homework.
That's absolutely correct. The court made it crystal clear. Geographic distance does not negate the buyer's responsibility to investigate. Think about it, the availability of vehicle history reports, the ability to communicate directly with the seller and ask very specific questions, even the option of hiring a third-party inspector in the seller's location. All these things mitigate the challenges posed by distance in the eyes of the law.
It really underscores the point that while the digital marketplace offers amazing convenience and reach, it also places a greater responsibility on the buyer to be proactive and, frankly, well-informed before clicking buy.
Absolutely. And connecting this back to a broader legal principle, it kind of reinforces the idea that knowledge is most valuable when it's understood and actually applied.
Yeah.
You know, critical thinking in a legal context involves questioning assumptions like taking an online description at face value and taking those steps to verify information when reasonable means are available. This case provides a really concrete example of how that principle is applied in the world of online sales.
Okay, so to just quickly summarize the core takeaways from Negro v. Lee for our listeners, the term gorgeous, generally speaking, is considered non-binding puffery. And when you're engaging in online sales, particularly for significant items like cars, the principle of buyer beware remains very much in effect. Due diligence isn't just a good idea. In the eyes of the law, it's often a crucial expectation.
Exactly. You can't simply rely on a seller's vague, positive adjectives and then turn around and claim fraud when defects pop up, especially defects that could have been reasonably discovered beforehand.
So here's a final thought for you, our insightful future legal minds. As the digital marketplace keeps evolving, think AI descriptions, virtual inspections, who knows what else, how do you see the legal boundaries between puffery and actual misrepresentation shifting?
That's a great question.
And maybe what innovative forms of due diligence might become both necessary for consumers and perhaps expected by the courts in the years ahead? It's definitely something to consider as you shape your understanding of commercial law in this digital age.
Indeed. The legal principles established in cases like Negro v. Lee give us a valuable framework. But the dynamic nature of the online environment will undoubtedly continue to present new and complex legal challenges for everyone involved.
Well, that brings us to the end of this deep dive. Until our next exploration, keep analyzing those legal landscapes.